First John chapter 4, and we're going to read verses 15 through 18. First John chapter 4, and we'll read verses 15 through 18 together. I'll read verse 15, and you read verse 16 with me. First John chapter 4, and verse number 15. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. And then I'll close with verse 19. We love him because he first loved us. And let's pray. Father, we come to your word tonight. We thank you for it. Thank you. You've preserved it. You've written it. Father, please speak to our hearts, strengthen us as your people, and Lord, help us to be more usable because of what we learn and more tender-hearted, please. In Jesus' name, amen. And as you look at this, there is, verse 18, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment or torture. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. When I got saved, one of the most precious truths I ever learned was that once you're saved, you're always saved. And it scared me because I knew what a fickle idiot I was. And I didn't want it to be a phase I was going through. And I remember going to Mom Woolston, and she was in her 80s. And I remember just tears coming down my face. It's not that I didn't trust God. It's that I didn't trust me. And I remember saying, can you lose it? And Mom Woolston looked at me, and she took me to John 6:47, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And she said, you know, in Mom's way, you know, we all called her Mom. She just said, honey, what's that word right there? And I said, everlasting. She said, hon, it wouldn't be everlasting if you could lose it. And I just remember it was like a pressure came off the canister, and I could just rejoice in the fact that God loved me, and my salvation was not dependent on me. It was dependent on God, because he's the one that did the saving. 1 John 4:18 says, you cannot mature spiritually if you are in fear. Fear has torment. And you cannot, Jesus led by love, Hitler led by fear and hate. You can lead people by hatred, but it eventually implodes. Jesus led by love, and it's a perfect love. And the Bible says, if there is fear, if you fear in salvation, you cannot grow, because you're always tortured by the fact. And when you look at that, I feel sorry for it. I don't compare our church to other churches, not in a comparison race, but my family is Pentecostal, and I grew up going to those late night meetings where they'd preach till 11 o'clock, you know, and I remember being in that country church in Kansas, and, you know, a 10-year-old boy, and I remember the preacher would preach, and he'd come down and put his hand on the shoulder, and there'd be sweat dry. I mean, I remember those nights. I remember I was raised Pentecostal, and when I got saved, I had questions about eternal security. And so enjoying this doctrine here, I feel sorry for people that believe you can lose it. And I'll share with you later, I fear for them. Because if you believe you can lose it, what do you believe you did to get it? And that scares me. I'm not saying if somebody believes they can lose their salvation, they're lost. But I fear for that, because the potential's there. Let me start with this. How to be saved and how you're made happy are two different questions. You're saved by placing your faith in Christ. You're saved by getting born again, by putting your faith in the blood that he shed on the cross. You're happy as much as you obey. Can you be saved and not happy? Yes, I know some miserable Christians. Watch this. Can you be happy and not saved? Yes. If you ever combine how to be saved and how to be happy, you will have confusion. You're as happy as you obey the Lord. You're saved if you place your faith in Christ. It's wonderful when you can be saved and happy. And I've known some lost, miserable people. But understanding that as a foundation, I think, would help you. You're in 1 John. I'm going to show you some verses there in just a second. Just listen for a minute. Isaiah 32:17 is a wonderful verse, and if we go through all these, we don't have time tonight, but just listen to this verse real quickly. Isaiah 32:17, the work of righteousness shall be peace, and the effect of righteousness, quietness and assurance forever. God says one thing that's an effect of him giving you his righteousness to get to heaven is a quietness and an assurance that you're saved. There's a peace that comes. That's why you'll hear me say sometimes during an invitation, I won't say if you're lost. Sometimes I will. I'll vary it. But sometimes I don't say if you're lost, you need to trust Jesus. Sometimes I'll say this: if you don't have the peace of God in your heart that you're his child, then today could be the day of your salvation, right? That's one way of saying it. Because the effect of salvation is quietness and assurance forever. If you are saved and you do not have the assurance, there could be other... Could you not be saved? Yes. But I have found as a pastor, you can be saved, and there are some things you can do that will cause you to doubt your salvation. You're in 1 John chapter 4. Look at 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. And look at verse 3. And hereby we do know that we know him, if we keep his commandments. I'll say it again. If you're a disobedient Christian, then there will be times you doubt your salvation, because hereby we do know that we know him. I know that I'm his child when we keep his commandments. That means my obedience helps me with my security. Doesn't mean whether I'm saved or lost, but I've watched disobedient Christians. They'll come to church on Sunday. I remember growing up seeing there was a guy in our church. He was the town drunk. He came to church every Sunday morning. He'd come to the altar weeping. The pastor would come down and pray with him. And he'd always, it just went on and on. I remember as a kid, he'd always get assurance of his salvation. That's because he'd leave church, go get with the wrong crowd, start drinking again all week long, come to church on Sunday morning, come down the aisle, weep. And literally, it just happened every Sunday. If you're a disobedient Christian, it can cause you to doubt salvation. All right. You're in 1 John 2:3. Look at 2:5. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected or matured. Hereby know we that we are in him. I'm in Christ. Your obedience is a wonderful added assurance to your salvation. It helps. Here we go. So, if you're a disobedient Christian, you could doubt your salvation. Number two, you're in 1 John. Look at chapter 3. Look at verse 14. We know that we have passed, 1 John 3:14. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. I think one sign that you're saved, the Bible says, is if you enjoy church. We love the brethren, and hereby we know that we're God's child when we love the brethren. So let me take the opposite. You cannot mistreat other Christians and be glad you're saved. It's going to cause a struggle. Disobedience and mistreating others. You're in 1 John chapter 3, verse 14. Look at verse 16. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoso hath this world's good and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Watch verse 19. And hereby we know that we are of the truth, and shall assure our hearts before him, because we treat other people like Jesus would treat them. So you cannot, if you have a grudge, if you hate, if you have a vendetta, so you're going to get even with somebody, that will cause you to doubt your salvation. So when somebody says, I just don't know if I'm saved or not, I'll go through, I don't automatically say, well, good, you need to get resaved. You can't get resaved. All right. You just do it right the first time. But second of all, I'll ask, how's your Christian life? Sometimes they just came through a big struggle. Sometimes they went through a big conflict. And so understanding that, laying the groundwork, now take your Bible. We've looked at 1 John. You know what? While you're there, let me make the most of it. Go to 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. I used to think that, I know eternal security is a Baptist doctrine. But the more I study the Bible, the more I believe it's a Bible doctrine. And it's for Bible believers, and people who don't believe the Bible believe you can lose your salvation. It's not the Pentecostals believe you can lose it, and the Baptists believe if you believe the Bible, because of what we'll read, look at verse number, ready? Look at verse number 7, little children. I'm in 1 John 3. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. He that committeth sin is of the devil. For the devil sinneth from the beginning. Well, wait a second. Have you sinned since you've been saved? Okay, so he that committeth sin is of the devil. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Look at verse 9. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin. So if you commit sin, okay, just reading it and moving on. Just if you commit sin, you're of the devil, and if you are born of God, you don't commit sin. I heard a sermon, you've heard me give the story, when I was in chapel. A man that never preached in chapel again, he got up and preached off of this, and he said that word in the Greek there. So if you've sinned and you have a problem with sin, you need to get saved. That day, out of 2,000 students, I believe there were like 43 students lined up at the door to get resaved. The next day, Brother Hiles came in and preached a whole message on, I don't know how Jesus' blood washes away sin, I just know he paid it all, okay, to try to fix it. Let me see if I can explain this passage without preaching heresy. Amen? You're a body, soul, and a spirit, right? The part of you that God saved, that got born again, was your spirit. Your soul didn't get saved. Your body didn't get saved. And the part of you that got saved can't sin. Your soul sins, amen? Your flesh sins, all right? But your spirit can't sin. It's the part of you that got saved. If you read the verse 9 again, whosoever is born of God, what part of you is born of God? Your spirit. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he's born of God. Not only does your spirit not sin, it can't. Isn't that wonderful? The part of me that God saved is saved forever. It can't sin. My flesh will. That's a wonderful truth there. And now go to Isaiah chapter 51. Isaiah chapter 51. Isaiah 51. Isn't it wonderful to know God loves you? Here we go. I feel accepted with God when I obey, but God's love for me never changes. And when I do right, God loves me, and God loves you. And when you do wrong, God never stops loving you. Isn't that wonderful? That's the most beautiful part about eternal security, is I can enjoy God's love. And amidst my failures and my Romans chapter 7 experiences, I discover what a wretched man I am. I can, my release is what? Jesus is the only good thing about me. Amen. And I'm so glad once he saved me, I can't mess it up. Look at Isaiah chapter 51. Look at verse 6. Ready? Lift up your eyes to the heavens and look upon the earth beneath, for the heavens shall vanish away like smoke, and the earth shall wax old like a garment, and they that dwell therein shall die in like manner. Watch this. But my salvation shall be forever, and my righteousness shall not be abolished. What more do you need? If God saved you, he saved you forever. He didn't save you till you sin again. Amen? My salvation. Now, if it's yours, that's until you sin again. But if it's God's salvation, then it is forever. That's verse 6. Look at verse number 8. For the moth shall eat them up like a garment, and the worm shall eat them like wool. Watch. But my righteousness shall be forever, and my salvation from generation to generation. What a verse. Now, if you're there in Isaiah, go to Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon, Proverbs, Song of Solomon, Ecclesiastes, the book that's right before Isaiah. Go to Ecclesiastes chapter 3. I'm glad I'm in a church where we preach the Bible teaches once you're saved, you're always saved. You're supposed to do what you do because you love the Lord, not because you're scared of hell. I came to church this morning to learn more about the one who loved me and died for me, not because I was scared if I didn't, something bad was going to happen. Now, I don't think you ought to miss church. Amen. Well, you're the pastor. I know, but you know what I'm saying. I came to church this morning as a Christian. Look at Ecclesiastes, verse chapter 3. Look at verse 14. Watch this. I know that whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. Nothing can be put to it, nor anything taken from it, and God doeth it, that men should fear before him. What a beautiful statement. If God saved you, God did it forever, and you can't add to it. What do those who believe you can lose your salvation teach? Well, yeah, Jesus died for you, but you need to keep yourself saved. So it's Jesus plus you that you can't add anything to it. And what a slap in the face to God to say what your son did on the cross is not sufficient. I need to add to it. What an insult. No, whatever God does, he does forever. Amen. And you cannot add to it or take away from it. You can just what? Enjoy it. Amen. Enjoy being saved. Enjoy being a child of God. Go ahead and go to John chapter 6, verse 47. And I know I've already stated this, but I just wanted to go through. I used to think that, well, you know, as I grow as a Christian, I used to think, well, if you go to a Bible-believing Baptist church, they've got a list of verses that show you can't lose your salvation. But if you go to a Pentecostal church, they've got a list of verses that show you can lose your salvation. It's not true. There's about 5 verses they go to. We'll look at one of them tonight. But they don't have verse after verse after verse after verse. You have to deny a lot of the Bible to believe you can go to hell once you're saved. And aren't you glad God never tells you, you better live right or I'll send you back to the hell I saved you from? God never says that in the Bible. Amen? God says, I'll show you later, God says, okay, I saved you, you're saved forever. Now what are you going to do about it? Right? Now serve me, because I love you. Amen. Watch this. Look at John 6:47. Jesus here said, verily, verily, or truthfully, truthfully, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. I've always said that's one of the simplest verses in the Bible. He that believeth on me hath everlasting life. And that's the verse Mom Woolston used to say, honey, what is that word right there? And I said, everlasting. It wouldn't be everlasting if you could lose it. That verse means a lot to me. And if you've been soul winning with me, you've heard me give that verse to other people. But John 6:47, and it's a wonderful verse to memorize. Go now to John chapter 10. You're in John. Go to John chapter 10. John chapter 10. Look at verse 28. Look at verse 28. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. There's so many wonderful truths in that verse. But when Jesus saves you, you'll never perish. And that word perish is in reference to hell. You'll never die and go to hell. I remember there was a man in our church when I was in the Marine Corps, and when we'd have testimony time, he'd always shoot up his hand. He'd just stand up. His testimony was short and sweet. Pastor, I'm so glad I'm saved and I'll never die and go to hell. Then he'd sit down. I had stuck in my head because I heard it a lot. But I just remember how that touched my heart. Pastor, I'm so glad I'm saved and I'll never die and go to hell. If you'll notice how much in your Christian life goes back to you being glad you're saved, everything is supposed to come from that, right? Your service for God. We come to church. You're singing. Everything we do tomorrow, we'll enjoy fellowship. Why? Because we're saved. Amen? And that determines whether I can spend time with you or not, right? Are you glad you're saved? I'm glad I'm saved. Glory to God. Let's enjoy fellowship. Amen? Let's enjoy what God's done in our life. But here we go. John chapter. Okay, let's hit one more word. And you've heard me. This is the third time I've done this. But no man shall pluck them out of my hand. We have chickens. And when you kill a chicken, you pluck its feathers off, right? That feather is getting its life and is physically connected to the chicken. That's why God said, no man can take them out of my hand. Jesus said, when you get saved, you're put in me and made a part of me. And no man can pluck you because you're a part of me out of my hand. Isn't that beautiful? No man can pluck you out of my hand. That's John chapter 10, verse 28. First Peter, go back near the book of Revelation. First Peter chapter 1. First Peter chapter 1. See, when I got saved, these wonderful Bible studies like this helped me. We didn't have YouTube. We didn't have internet to cloud the waters. Nobody went and watched stupid preachers that don't go soul winning, that don't use the King James Bible, It's amazing, okay, I'll say this. It's amazing how much hatred is on the internet over people who believe what I'm teaching you tonight. We didn't have that to deal with. There was no friction, none. I was happy with my church and what my pastor taught, and I didn't have internet to cloud the waters. So unless you know what you're looking at, be careful what you get involved in. Okay? Look at 1 Peter chapter 1. It ought to bring peace to your heart. Watch this. Verse 5, 1 Peter 1, 5, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. So who is it that keeps me saved? God's power. My power doesn't keep me saved. We just read in John 10, I'm in God's hand. He's holding on to me. I'm not holding on to him. When I fall, it's just like a daddy picks the kid up, you know, so they don't fall into the puddle. When I fall, daddy lifts me up. I'm kept saved by his power. Isn't that wonderful? Somebody said, well, I better not get ahead of myself tonight, but I had nothing to do with my salvation. You say, well, you sought the Lord. I didn't seek nothing. I humbled myself. That's all I did. And I saw what a dirtbag I was. God did the rest. He touched me. He convicted me. He saved me. And then He saved me forever. Aren't you glad? Amen. I'm kept by His power. Christian, tonight, if you're saved, you're saved and kept by His power. That's 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 5. Go to Ephesians chapter 2. Look at verse 1. Ready? Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1. And you hath He quickened or made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins. God says, before you got saved, before I was saved, I was dead. There was no life there. Put a mirror in front of His face. He's not breathing. He's dead. In trespasses and sins. And if you miss it in Ephesians 2:1, He says it in verse 5. Look at verse 5. Even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened or made us alive, us together with Christ, by grace are ye saved. Think with me just for a second. The foolishness of thinking you could lose your salvation. You mean you used to be dead, God gave you life and rose you from the dead, and then you believe you can die again. That which God brought to life, you believe you can kill. It's impossible. You used to be dead. Now you're alive. And that's part of the reasoning I've used with people. Look at Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4, and look at verse 6, which is a quote from the Old Testament of Psalm 32, and you've also heard me use this when we go out soul winning. Look at Romans chapter 4 and verse 6. Even as David also describeth the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth or records the details of righteousness without works. So God gave you His righteousness without you doing anything for it, right? God recorded everything that He is under your name when you placed your faith in Christ. Not when you got baptized, not when you joined a church, but when you got saved. Look at the next verse. Saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute. What's the word impute mean? Record the details of. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute or record sin. When you get saved, all of your sins are written under Jesus' name. They're not written under your name. What do you mean if you do too many sins, you're going to go back to hell? There's no sins written under your name. They're all written under... Here, watch this. If you had a timeline and the cross is here and your birth is here and your salvation date is here and your death date is here, the teaching that you can lose your salvation, well, now that you're saved, Jesus forgave all the sins of your past, but if you do any sins in the future that are bad, you'll lose your salvation. Everybody understand that you go past and future. Well, wait a second. When Jesus died for you, we hadn't been born yet. None of us. All of our sins were future. That's why He paid it all. What do you mean He died only for the sins from the time you got saved till the time you were born? He died for all of them and you hadn't even committed any of them yet. That's why I love this thought. There's nothing you can do tomorrow that'll take you to hell. Amen. There's nothing you can do. So, you know, we're in a Catholic area, and you've heard me say Catholics teach about suicide, and if you commit suicide, you automatically go to hell. That is not true. Suicide is self-murder, and I'm not for suicide, and I don't... It's murder. There will be murderers in heaven when we get there who place their faith in Christ. No, just because you commit suicide does not mean that you automatically go to hell. That is a Catholic teaching. It's false. Okay? If when Jesus died for you or someone, he knew all about their sins. He knew every word they would say. And he died for it all. Amen? Aren't you glad? That's how come my sins are paid for. They're all paid. God will not record sin. Let's look at a verse. Go to Hebrews 6. Let's look at one of the verses they use to show you can lose your salvation. And watch this. Hebrews chapter 6. There's a few of them. And 93 times in the book of John, Jesus said, believe and you have eternal life or you have everlasting life. So you're going to hold to one verse and discredit 93 other verses. Little goofy. All right. You mean you might need to study more, but God never contradicts himself in his word, right? Look at Hebrews chapter 6. Look at verse number, we'll start here at verse 1. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation. So he's talking, you need to grow as a Christian, and these things are basic. The foundation of repentance from dead works, and of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptisms, and of laying on of hands, and of resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment. This we will do. We'll move on. If God permit, watch. For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, watch verse 6, if they shall fall away to renew them again unto repentance. That verse doesn't teach you can lose your salvation. You know what that's teaching? If you could lose your salvation, you couldn't get resaved. That's what that's teaching. It's teaching your salvation is so wonderful that God gave you that if you could lose it, you could. But what do churches that believe you can lose your salvation teach? Well, if you sin too bad, you need to get resaved. You know what the fallacy of that is? Keep on reading. Look at, you got verse 6 there. If they shall fall away to renew them again to repentance, it's impossible, right? Seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to an open shame. To say you have to get resaved would say what Jesus did for you on the cross wasn't sufficient. He needs to go through it again because you're so bad. I told you that's a slap in God's face. And it crucifies the Son of God afresh again. And God says, that disgusts me. That teaching is wrong. That's what's wrong with the Catholic Mass. Because they take the Eucharist and they sacrifice Jesus every service. And he's crucified over and over again, never even with the hope of salvation. Right? He's crucified afresh. Every time, and God says, that disgusts me. So, this is a chapter they use. This is a verse they use. I don't believe this is teaching you can lose your salvation at all. I believe it's teaching if you could lose it, it would be impossible to get saved because of what Jesus did for you. Okay? So, he's kind of hitting it from the back door. Let's go back and let's look at just a few more. Let's look at Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. And look at verse 37, Romans chapter 8 and verse 37. I think, personally, there's so many verses that teach you can't lose your salvation that I think you'd almost have to deny the Bible to believe you can lose it. Amen? I don't know. I would just suggest go read your Bible. If you really believe you can lose it, go read it. Amen? Because you haven't. All right. There's no way you could have read it and believe that. Look at Romans chapter 8, verse 37. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I'm persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. God plainly says when you get saved, nothing separates you from his love. You may not feel like God loves you because of how you acted, but God never stops loving you. Aren't you glad? Nothing separates you from His love. What wonderful verses, and you've heard me use those. You're in Romans, go to chapter 3 and verse 28. Romans chapter 3, verse 28. I do have a conclusion that we'll cover here tonight, and I want it to be a blessing to you. Romans chapter 3 and verse 28. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified or saved by faith without the deeds of the law. Let's go simple reasoning tonight. Ready? I'm trying to help you enjoy your salvation and the thoughts that bring peace and joy to my heart amidst the craziness that goes on in the world. Think with me. God says, if there wasn't anything you could do good to get saved before you were saved, how can there be anything you can do after you're saved to cause you to lose it? Nothing. There was nothing. You couldn't pay enough money. You couldn't help enough people. You couldn't cry enough to get saved. All you had to do was place your faith. Then how can you do anything to lose it? And that's what scares me about people who believe you can lose your salvation. So you believe it's Jesus plus you. If you really believe that, you'll die and go to hell. Watch that. That's the danger. You'll believe Jesus died for your sins, was buried in a tomb, rose again, and you adding your works to it nullifies the whole. It's because you plus Jesus doesn't equal nothing, right? And if you need a verse for that, go to Romans chapter 11. Watch this. Romans chapter 11. Romans chapter 11. Look at verse 6. I hope you mark it in your Bible and you go back and look at it. And if by grace, then it is no more of works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then it is no more grace. Otherwise, work is no more work. You either got saved by Jesus doing it all, or you didn't get saved. But if you mixed any of you in it, it's just like chocolate milk. If you put one drop of chocolate in it, you may not see it, but it's not pure milk. And God says it's either all grace, unmerited favor, and there was nothing you could do to get it, or it's all works, but you can't combine it. It's not Jesus plus you. And that's what scares me. To teach you can lose your salvation means you teach a false salvation. And that is what scares. I have family members that believe this. And I fear. I don't argue with it anymore. Trust me, we've done our arguing. They've raised their voice and yelled across the house. I've been called a heretic. I don't argue anymore. But do I fear I have family members that are going to die and go to hell? Yes, I do. Because of what they teach. Now, Romans chapter 11, verse 6, I think. Here, watch this. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. There's so much that can come from a solid teaching like this. Tomorrow, if I had a bad day today, because I'm saved forever, I can get up tomorrow and start again. Amen. And when I fail Him, I'm so glad He doesn't throw me in the trash can. Because He's had many reasons to. Fine, if I save you and do all I've done for you, you can treat me that way. No, that's the way I would treat somebody. But I think that's another fallacy. God doesn't love like you love. His ways are higher than your ways, and His thoughts are higher than our thoughts, and His love is an everlasting love. It's not temporary. God loves eternally, and it's a pure love. That lets me, as a Christian, praise God, dust myself off. His mercies are new every morning, and tomorrow's a new day. And I'm going to get up, and I get to live for Him again tomorrow. Amen. 1 Timothy chapter 2. Look at verse 13. Watch this. If we believe not, yet He abideth faithful. He cannot deny Himself. What a verse. You know where I use that verse, and it means so much to me? My mom has Alzheimer's now. She doesn't recognize me anymore. I've watched Christians who were, love the Lord, but as they get older, sometimes the mind leaves them. And I've often had this thought, what happens if I have, I hope it's not in my genes, but it probably is. Okay. But what happens if I forget I'm saved? Not because I'm living in sin, but because my head goes bye-bye. I'm not talking lightly about it now. Isn't that a beautiful verse? If we believe not, yet he abides faithful. Because when you got saved, you became in Christ. You went in him, and he won't deny himself. You say, what happens if I get saved and I stop believing? Out of, let's say, I get wrapped up in the wrong crowd and all this other garbage, it plays again. If we believe not, once we've been saved, he won't deny himself. He abides faithful. What do you mean you can lose your salvation? He's faithful. Midst my failures, he's faithful. Isn't that beautiful? What a verse in your Bible. Let's go ahead and go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and look at verse number 51. We'll close with this. I think you ought to relish God's love. You ought to enjoy it. Picture God's love like a field of flowers, and you just roll around in it and enjoy it and praise God. He loves you, and it never changes. You ought to be a happy Christian, because when he saved you, you can't lose it. In spite of you. Amen. In spite of your failure. Watch this. That doesn't mean I whitewash sin. It doesn't mean I call what I do wrong right. It just means I'm saved forever. Glory to God. You know, we sang this morning, saved, glory, I'm saved. My sins are all pardoned. My guilt, it's all gone. Saved, glory, I'm saved. I like what one pastor said. God won't stop using you if you'll just be glad you're saved. Just be glad you're a child of God. How do you do that? Keep going back to it. I can't lose it. Amen. Watch this. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 51. Behold, I show you a mystery. So this is something that's being taught in the New Testament that was not taught in the Old Testament. We shall not all sleep. Talking about our body, but we shall all be changed. So now he's going to start talking to us about the rapture in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye at the last trump. Look, at the Feast of Trumpets, they blew the trumpet 100 times. And the 100th time was called the last trump. It has nothing to do with Donald Trump. Okay. But they blew the trumpet, and this is, I think, in reference to the Feast of Trumpets, Leviticus 23, beautiful prophecy study. But the last trump was, okay, here we go, which I think is tied in with the rapture here, but watch this. But the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible, this flesh must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. What a day that's going to be. If Jesus sounded, come on home, and this flesh dropped, and I got new, poof, robe of righteousness out of here, all in the twinkling of an eye. Pow! What victory. Then notice, God says here, verse 55, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. I think you ought to mark that verse in your Bible. I don't believe when a Christian dies, they die painlessly, but I believe they die differently, because the sting of death is sin. That book, Dying Testimonies of Saved and Lost, from the 1800s. I've tried to give it out here, and if you've never read it, you need to. But to watch a lost person die and to watch a saved person die are two different watch them scream as they go into hell, and watch the family sing as mom goes home to be with the Lord. Totally different. The sting of death is sin. And when Jesus paid for our sins, that's why I believe a Christian dies differently. Watch this. But verse 57, "But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." Someday, I'm going to die and go to heaven, and I'm going to live forever. Because of that, verse 58, ready? "Therefore, because of what was just taught, my beloved brethren," watch, "be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord." You know how God uses eternal security? God says, okay, now that you're saved, you'll never die and go to hell. You're forever on your way to heaven. What are you going to do for the Lord until you get there? Somebody said, you can't teach that. They'll go out and live any way they want. I've never met somebody that said, now that I'm saved, I can sin. I've watched people say, now that I'm saved, I'm glad I'm going to heaven, and do not understand what happened and go out and live in sin. But I've never seen anybody live in sin because they were saved. God says, because you're going to live forever, why don't you settle yourself? That word steadfast means constant, fixed, like a pillar. Why don't you set yourself and determine, until God calls me home, I'm going to serve the Lord. I'm going to be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Isn't that wonderful? 1 Corinthians 15, there is something every one of you are supposed to be doing for God. Well, you're the pastor. You're the one that's doing a work. Every one of you needs a work that you can abound in. Every one of you has been called when you got saved to do something for God before you die. Why don't you focus on that? You say, well, I know. I'm not worthy. None of us are worthy. Okay? Now that we got that all settled, why don't we enjoy God's love and say, okay, since I can't lose it and I'm going, I can be steadfast. And isn't that a wonderful wrap up? Therefore, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Watch this. For as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. God's going to pay you back for everything you do. Every sacrifice you make. See, we live in a world that's starting to pressure, and the persecution is going to increase. Things are going to get worse before they get better, right? I'm glad I'm eternally saved. They know nothing about it, but we're starting to see things happen. Shouldn't shake me. I'm being told, we're going to be told, dirty people go to church. You only get the coronavirus at church. There's another lockdown coming. There's another virus coming, and you can only catch it at church. That's why we need to shut church down. No, be steadfast. I'm not going to live in fear of death. I know I'm going to die. And you know when I'm going to die? When God's done with me. If I'll just stick close to the Lord, then I can be steadfast, unmovable, and everything I do, this isn't a waste of time. This is one of the best uses of your time during your week is coming to church. You say, what's another one? The greatest use of your time is leading someone to Christ. It's not in vain. It's not for nothing. God will pay it back. You say, I wanted to use eternal security tonight to come to 1 Corinthians 15 and say, Christian, enjoy God's love. Enjoy your salvation. But serve Him. Serve the Lord because you're saved. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this, Lord, this wonderful, beautiful truth. I know you encourage me with it. I just wish these people...